Just going back from before, we had the three tribes were kind of all taken care of, and then even more so. And then we also had Gad and Reuben and a half tribe Manasseh. So now there's seven tribes left. And so there was a pause in between this time, and it was a pause of it was really peaceful. The borders were secure. There wasn't much war going on, but I think that's exactly what the problem was. And Joshua, anticipating grumbling that's going to happen, in the last chapter, 17, remember when the sons of Joseph come before Joshua and complain about their lack of land that they have? And so Joshua kind of sees this happening. So what happens is, during that time, the congregation of Israel, they assemble at this place called Shiloh. Now, excuse me, this is a really important place. When it says the presence of the Lord, or in this particular case, the tent of meeting, primarily what the tent of meeting meant, it was the tabernacle. It was where the glory of God, the Shekinah of God, rested, and primarily because this is where the Ark of the Covenant was. Remember the jar of manna, the tablets of the commandments, and the rod of Aaron. And so God's miraculous power, God's miraculous word, and God's miraculous provision, which made up the Ark of the Covenant. And so the Ark was there in Shiloh, and it actually stays here for 300 years. Do you know when the Ark moves? Do you remember when? We'll read later on in Samuel, it's when the Israelites are fighting the Philistines, and they decide to take the ark from Shiloh. It's the resting place. Actually, Shiloh means peaceful. We'll go into Genesis a little bit. And it was this really place of rest. That's what God's sanctuary should really be more than anything else. And if you think about it, our future eternal life really is a life of eternal rest. And so it's very, very appropriately named in that way. So they go to remember, the Philistines, they take the ark and they send it out, and then the Philistines capture the ark, and that's when it leaves Shiloh. So it stayed in this place for 300 years. This was the place of rest. And more than that, I'll just read from Genesis chapter 49. And this is prophecies of the Messiah, messianic prophecies. And you'll catch really clearly why it's very definitive in the scriptures as it's talking about the Messiah. And he says, this is Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. He ties his foil to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes, and continues on. And it's talking about messianic times. And, you can catch the part about the donkey, it goes all into what Jesus went through, but it's this idea of the eternal peace. And in verse 10, when that word that says until Shiloh comes, the exact really definition is until the one who is sent returns to Shiloh. And so, again, it's this place of rest, and it's this place of peace. And this is when the Messiah, when he comes back, he's going to bring us into this land of peace, this peaceful rest. Now, this is the key to understand this passage. We are not at that place right now. The Israelites, this was a time not necessarily of peace. Now, the tabernacle, the tent of meeting was that place of peace. But it was a place of peace in the midst of conquest. And so what the Israelites were supposed to do, they were supposed to take possession of the land that was given to them, and instead they don't. And so Joshua has to come and really rebuke the people and say, you guys are sinning. Why are you hesitating from taking possession of what God has for you? And I think this is a really good picture in a lot of ways of our human condition. When things are really peaceful, I mean, have you ever noticed when things are really peaceful and things are calm, we don't want to fight. It actually, in those times, is where we should be grabbing more of the enemy's territory. But in our human condition, our sinfulness, when times are good, we tend to take it easy. we tend to want a holiday and want a vacation. But the sad tragedy of that is when we have that attitude, guess what? You don't get to possess what God has given to you. And it's a really good lesson for us in this way over these sons. And the end of verse 1, so they're at Shiloh, they sent the tent of meeting, and the land was subdued before them. In other words, the land was ripe for taking possession, but they were peaceful. They set up the ark, and oh, everything's good, and they didn't go further. Now, you have to excuse my sports analogy now, okay? But the one thing that really amazes me about certain athletes, guys like Kobe Bryant, now guys like Steph Curry, you know, back in the days, Michael Jordan, I'm sorry, they're all basketball players. But something about these guys, when they reached the pinnacle, they worked even harder. That's what set these guys apart from other elite athletes. You know, a lot of guys, they work hard to get to a certain place, and once they get there, they kind of coast. I mean, they still work hard, but they kind of coast. But there's certain athletes, there's certain people that they work hard to get to that place, and then when they get there, they work even harder. You know, like in boxing and other sports, they always talk about it's easier to get the belt, it's hardest to retain the belt. In other words, to remain a champion. And it's very similar in this idea. These guys work really hard, the Israelites, to get to this place. I mean, they fought, they battled, they won, they lost a little bit, but they overcame and they got to this point. And then they thought, let's just relax. When the land was theirs to take, when it was, I mean, they're on the precipice of owning what was their inheritance, and instead, they were, they were subdued by the peace in the region, and they kind of took a back seat. They delayed their obedience because there was no sense of urgency, basically. There was no enemy in their face. There was no imminent threat, and so they became bit subdued. And this is, in a lot of ways, this is really the human condition of a lot of people in church. Because what is it that breaks us out of our complacency is trouble. Our temptations, trials, hardships, brokenness. Those are the kind of things that kind of wake us up. You know, it's like what C.S. Lewis said, that, you know, he shouts in our pain. And so it's like sometimes the Lord has to lead us through these certain valleys to kind of wake us up, not understanding that the land is right there in front of us. And that's a really good lesson for us. And so when we're in a place of peace, and that's what we want, in that place of peace, it's actually a place to grab more land. It's not about being greedy, because that's inheritance, okay? And so it's time for us to get out of our comfort zone a little bit and grab a hold of the inheritance that God has given to us. And so don't be put to sleep or lackadaisical because there's no imminent threat that's there. See, because brothers and sisters, the threat is always there. Peter tells us that the thief, the lion, is seeking to devour. He's prowling. Right, the enemy is like this, prowling like that. It's always seeking to devour. He's always there. He always comes, John tells us, to rob, kill, and destroy. And so we got to be very aware of that. So this is what Joshua does. So he's like, all right, I'm sick of this complacency. He's the leader. He's been waiting for these guys to step in. And notice, it was really had to be the initiative of the people to really grab a hold of this. We're in partnership with the Lord in this way. And so what he does, he takes three men. He says, all right, I'm sick of this. Bring me three men. And the scholars, primarily the Jewish historian Josephus, he tells us that these men were expert mathematicians. And so it wasn't just three leaders, but they actually went out and they were experts in geometry and experts in scales, you know, and all, you know, whatever stuff that they had during those days. And so these guys were the ones that were sent out, and they made a very accurate drawing of all of this land. And it's, and the one that we read here, and I know all the names are really difficult to say, but these were all just, this is just for the tribe of Benjamin. And it was very clear, and apparently what Josephus says is these guys went out and they made careful sketches, and they did, you know, algorithms and all kinds of things to make sure that the land was evenly distributed amongst these seven tribes. And so this was a pretty huge undertaking, actually, that these three very, very educated, very capable men went out and apportioned pieces of land. And, you know, I mean, they took into account all kinds of stuff. They're probably, in our modern day, they're probably civil engineers, structural engineers, you know, all kinds of people, mathematicians. And they went out and basically made sure that the land was evenly distributed, but also had enough resources water distribution and all kinds of stuff, so which made the tribes that were able to go out there to be really self-sustaining. And so a pretty, you know, Joshua, pretty smart dude, you know, in this regard. So they go out and they do all these things, and then they go back, come back to Shiloh, and then they cast lots. And seemingly everyone was really happy about this. And most likely, probably the event that triggered that was probably the grumbling of Joseph and his sons. After that episode, Joshua was like, all right, man, we gotta make sure this is taken care of properly. And so they go off and do that, very diplomatically, I would say, in this regard. All right, so let's close our eyes today. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us. And this is the question for us to pray this morning. It's a real simple question. Is there anything in your life that you are delaying on? Any obedience that you are delaying on? And maybe you've been lulled to sleep by just the quiet. There's no imminent threat in front of you. And so we're kind of lull to sleep a bit, like the Israelites were. You know, this is something we tell our kids all the time. You know, delayed obedience is disobedience. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Is there anything in our life right now? Ask God to really pierce into our hearts. Is there anything, a promise of the Lord, some inheritance that God has for you, that you have been delaying because there's no imminent threat? See, this is precisely when the devil smacks you upside your head. He lulls you into a false sense of security, and then he pounces on you like a roaring lion seeking to devour. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us as we worship the Lord today. Let's pray this morning as the Lord's been looking through our hearts. And if you're convicted of something, maybe you've been a bit lackadaisical, talk to the Lord about that. Repent and move in obedience. And talk to Him about what causes us to kind of take a back seat in pursuing Him in that way. And let's pray together. Let's go to our corporate prayer, community prayer focus. Let's pray for our family that are going through cancer. Let's ask the Lord to continue to move upon us. Pray for those that are also going through chemo and radiation therapy. I'll make a note. Actually, Janie Park's auntie passed away last Sunday. And so she was a believer. She went peacefully into the arms of Jesus. And So if you can just lift up Janie and her whole family in that regard. So let's just pray for our community that they would just continue to draw near to God. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also has not yet given their life to the Lord. Huh? Let's pray for spiritual healing and physical healing. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision, open doors. Let's go to our mission focus, and today let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's continue to pray for the government and, you know, especially a lot of the unrest that's going on in the city. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to just bring His peace and His calm, and that the city would be protected. Let's pray against the wealth gap, that it would shorten instead of widen. Let's pray for revival in the churches. Lift up the local church, international church. The ethnic churches. Let's pray for our friends ministering here. Sports Services International. Let's pray for Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Korean Church. And let's ask for God's blessing and favor and provision and anointing for these ministries as they lift up the city. And let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's lift up our staff. Let's pray for their health. Let's pray that God would use us to really build this house and His kingdom here in Hong Kong and Asia. Let's pray for God's blessing. Pray for provision. Pray for all the moms, parents that are on this list, that they would care for their kids well and family would be a major priority in her life. And especially let's pray for Mon as she's carrying right now. Let's pray for strength and no back pain and all that kind of stuff. Let's lift up. Let's pray for the worship, the sound, and the AV teams. Let's pray for a real heart of worship and excellence in everything they do as a ministry. Let's pray for our worship leaders, particularly that they would really, their public worship be an extension of their private devotion. And so let's pray that God would really use our teams and when they lead and that the real presence of God would come and meet with us. That this truly would be a house of prayer, a house of connecting with God. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our hospitality ministries, welcoming and barista. We pray that there would just really be a sense of joy when they greet people and they serve people over the weekends. Let's just pray for good organization, excellent coffee, and great fellowship through our leaders here. So let's lift up our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Let's pray for Fontana, Hopewell, Kowloon, Garden, Old Peak Road, Soho, and Westville as they talk about the weekend's messages. And let's pray for just really divine connection with the Lord and with one another. And the real presence of God would come as they would minister to one another. Let's lift up our leaders and the hosts and ask for God's blessings tonight. Today is March 1, and so as part of the International Church's our Lent devotional, today let's pray for Community Gospel Church and for ELCHK St. Paul's Lutheran Church. The top one is International Church, and the second one is a local church. And let's just ask God to bless the leadership, to bless their ministries, that God would provide for these churches, and they would really impact their communities around them. Let's lift up, let's pray for these two churches today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God. Thank you for your word today. God, forgive us, Lord, when we become lackadaisical in our pursuit, God, of you and of your purposes, God. And we are sometimes lulled to sleep, God, into complacency. And Lord, I pray, God, that trials and tribulations would not wake us up, God, but a burning passion for you would be the thing, God, that really pushes us towards you, God. We are in that place of rest, God, but we gain territory, Lord. And so teach us, God, how to walk in that radical middle, Father. And so we love you, God, so much. And we ask you to bless these two churches that we prayed for, and bless our people as we go off to our workplaces, and help us to make an impact for you today in what we do and what we say and how we live, God. And we just thank you. We love you so much, Lord. We bless you today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.